Chapter 4. Jane Fairfax. Later, at home, Emma sat on her bed and thought about what had happened in the carriage. She shook her head. Poor Harriet, she thought sadly. This is all my fault. Mr. Knightley had warned Emma that Mr. Elton would never marry a girl who had no money, but she hadn't listened to him. She had encouraged Harriet to think of a match with him. Now he'd asked Emma to marry him, and Harriet was forgotten. What a mess! It was wrong to interfere in other people's lives. Emma promised herself that she would never do it again, and went to sleep feeling very distressed. But Emma was a cheerful girl with a happy nature, and by the next day she felt much better, especially when her father showed her a note from Mr. Elton. He was leaving Highbury and going to stay with friends in Bath. Emma was surprised, but pleased. She didn't wish to see him after the episode in the carriage. There was another thing that Emma didn't wish to do: to tell Harriet the truth about Mr. Elton. She knew it would destroy Harriet. Nevertheless, she visited her friend the next day and told her the bitter truth. Harriet was a sweet-natured girl, and although she cried a little, she didn't hold Emma or Mr. Elton responsible. It was going to take time for Harriet to forget him. In the meantime, she needed a distraction. Emma and Harriet went out walking together. Emma pointed out the beautiful flowers and trees they were passing, but Harriet wasn't interested. She kept sighing and saying things like, "Mr. Elton is so good to poor people," and "Mr. Elton is so kind to his friends." Emma tried to change the subject. They had talked about Mr. Elton much too much for one day. They were approaching the house where Mrs. Bates lived, and Emma decided they should visit her to distract Harriet from Mr. Elton. Mrs. Bates talked a lot, but anything was better than hearing more about Mr. Elton. Mrs. Bates was delighted to see the girls and welcomed them very warmly. "How's your granddaughter, Mrs. Bates?" asked Emma politely when they were sitting by the fire with their tea. "I hope she's well. My sister said she was coming to Highbury soon. How long will she stay with you?" "Thank you for asking, Miss Woodhouse. You're so kind," replied Mrs. Bates happily. "We got a letter from Jane this morning. She's coming to stay with us next week. Let me go and find it." Mrs. Bates went to look for the letter. She loved her granddaughter very much. Jane Fairfax's parents had died when she was very young, and after that, she came to live with her grandmother. But then, a visit from Colonel Campbell had changed everything. Colonel Campbell and his wife had been close friends of Jane's parents. They were very rich and had a daughter Jane's age. The Colonel felt very sorry for Jane when her parents died and suggested she come and live with them in London. He also promised to pay for her education. It was a very generous and helpful suggestion, and Jane agreed to it immediately, with the agreement of her grandmother. Mrs. Bates was sad when Jane left Highbury, but she knew that moving to London and living with the Campbells was the best thing for her. Jane had not inherited much money from her parents, and a good education meant she could become a governess and teach others when she was old enough. It would also be better for Jane to live with a girl of her own age than an elderly grandmother. And she was right. Jane was now a well-educated and charming young lady, thanks to the generous Campbells. Mrs. Bates returned with Jane's letter. "She's coming for 3 months at least, and I'm so excited, Miss Woodhouse," she replied. "How lovely for you," said Emma, trying to smile, although she wasn't pleased at all. She didn't like Jane Fairfax, but didn't know why. Perhaps it was because Mr. Knightley had once said that Jane was so clever and played the piano so well. The Campbells are going to visit Ireland, and Jane doesn't want to join them because she's been ill, continued Mrs. Bates. Let me read the whole letter to you, and I'll tell you all about it, she said eagerly. This was more than Emma could stand. I'm sorry, I'd love to hear Jane's letter, but I'm afraid my father's expecting us at home, isn't he, Harriet? She replied quickly, smiling at her friend. We really must go. Harriet looked surprised, but didn't say anything. She quickly got up and followed Emma to the door. When they left the house, Emma was very relieved that she hadn't had to listen to the whole of Jane's letter. The following week, Jane arrived in Highbury and was invited with her grandmother to Hartfield. Emma observed her as they sat down for tea with Mr. Woodhouse. She had to admit that Jane was very pretty. She had deep blue eyes and dark eyelashes. Her complexion was perfect, and she was very elegant and polite. Emma decided that she must try and be nice to Jane Fairfax. These were admirable feelings, but they didn't last long. Mr. Woodhouse asked his daughter to play the piano for the company, and then Jane played too. Emma had to admit that Jane played much better than she did. Emma found Jane very cold and reserved. She never gave her real opinion about anything. Emma knew that Jane and Frank Churchill had been at the holiday resort of Weymouth at the same time. They knew each other a little, but Emma couldn't get any information from Jane about him. "Is he handsome?" Emma asked Jane eagerly. "Did you spend much time together in Weymouth?" "I believe people think he's a very handsome young man," replied Jane indifferently. "He was in Weymouth with his aunt and uncle, and I was there with the Campbells. We saw them a few times." "Is he clever? Does he have good manners?" asked Emma impatiently. "Well, people say he's got lovely manners," answered Jane quietly. Emma couldn't forgive Jane for saying so little. What woman wasn't interested in discussing an eligible young man? It was all very puzzling.